Today's daf is Kilayim daf Lamed Gimel. As we continue here in Maseches Kilayim, the last couple of daf here, as I mentioned, having to do with Kilay Zraim. So we had a Mishnah yesterday having to do with if somebody has an onion field, Haisa Sadeu Zerua B'Tzalim, and they want to plant a row of gourds, Shura Shel Diluin. Diluin, if you remember, is one of the mukshas, one of the examples of a growth, a vegetable that has very wide-ranging and intertwining vines and leaves, and therefore there is there is more worry in the cases of muksha than other growths. So again, the two issues are you have to make sure that there's enough space between the bitsalim and the diluim. They don't look like they're together, and also that the diluim do not enclose and are not chovesh the bitsalim. So we had a machlokas tanoim yesterday between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael, the pashup shot of the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yishmael held that you need 12 amos in between the two mixtures, the two diluting areas, that you need 12 amos, meaning you have the 8 amos of onion, and then to the sides of them, you have 2 amos empty, and then you have the diluim on the sides. That's how we read the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Akiva is more makel. He says all you need are 8. You could have the bitsalim and the diluim right next to each other, because between each of the diluims, there's still 8 amos, right? Each row is 4 amos wide. So therefore, as long as you have 8 amos in between, it's still not called chovesh, and because they're each 8 amos wide, so then it looks separate. It looks separate, and it doesn't give an impression of Kilayim. So the Gemara starts off by saying that maybe the Rabbi Shmuel that we explained in the Mishnah is not exactly how it should be explained. According to Shmuel, we'll see that is exactly. Rabbi Shmuel holds 12 amos. But according to the first opinion of Kahana says, no, Rabbi Shmuel really has a sliding scale. Kahana Amar, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Pa'amim Sheshesrei, Pa'amim Shtemesrei, Pa'amim Shmona. Sometimes Rabbi Yishmael would require, sometimes he would have 16 between the two diluins, sometimes 12, and sometimes 8. What are the rules for Kahana? Kahana is explaining to Rabbi Yishmael that you always need, somewhere near the diluin, you need 4 amos unplanted. On which side of the diluim, that doesn't matter. You could have 4 on one side and 0 on the other side. You could have 2 on one side, 2 on the other side. Pashas, you could have 1 and 3. But you need 4 amos of unplanted. And that's called, to use the language of the Mishnah later on in our daf, the avodas diluim, the unplanted area around which is used to work the ground around the diluim. As long as you have 4 amos around the diluim somewhere, so then it is recognized as a separate entity and wouldn't be a problem for the bitzalim. So that is the Kahana's understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. You need 4 amos unplanted area next to the diluim, and also you need 8 amos minimum. Like Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Akiva says you always have 8 amos. Rabbi Shmuel also holds of that 8 amos, but it's lav dafka 8 amos. It could be cases that are more. There's different requirements. According to Rabbi Akiva, you don't need any separation, as we saw, just a little telem katan beinehem, but the Kahana's understanding of Rabbi Yishmael is that there's a sliding scale. So, for example, b'shashu nosin kol avoda mi bifnim, if the 4 amos that are required for the avodas diluin, if it's all on one side, the same side that you have the 2 rows of bitsalim, which are 8 amos, so you have the 4 amos of what's called avodas adiluin, then the 12 amos of the bitsalim themselves, so altogether from one diluin to another one would be 16. Sheshesrei, right? That's if you chose to put the 4 amos of the diluin on the same side towards the bisalim. But let's say miksasa bifnimu miksasa bachutz. Let's say some of it, 2 on one side, 2 on the other side. Let's say you have the rows of diluim, which are the 4 amos wide, and then you have 2 on one side, 2 on the other side. So then you have the 8 amos of the bitsalim themselves. Then right after that, you could have the diluim, shneimasrei. Then it'll be 12. Kula mibachutz, and if they're all on the other side, meaning you have a diluin row, and then on one side of that you put all 4 amos, then on the other side, then you could have the Bitzalim right next to it. The eight Amos of Bitzalim right next to it, and that would be Shmona. So that's how Kahana understands Rebbe Yishmael, a sliding scale. Again, the minimum is you need at least eight Amos in between, but also you need, as long as you have the four Amos of Avodas HaDeluin, somewhere in proximity to the Deluin, so that would be okay. Shmuel argues, and Shmuel says, no, that's not Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Rabbi Shmuel Shita is as we explained it in the Mishnah. Shmuel Amar La'olam Shtemesrei. No, always 12. Always 12. Not a sliding scale of 8, 12, or 16. Is it when we have Kahana, so Lachor, this is not Rav Kahana, but we can ask the same question that some of the Rishonim ask in the Bavli, and that is, was Rav Kahana a Kohen? Sometimes you meet a Kohen. Again, you can't go by how things are spelled in English, because that's just whatever they decided. But Rav Kahana, the Rishonim, the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about Rav Kahana, the Gemara in Kiddushin and elsewhere, but I'll read it from Kiddushin, Daf Chesam and Aleph in the Bavli. The Gemara says that Rav Kahana took Pidyon HaBen. Shakel Sudra mi bei Pidyon HaBen. Right, Rav Kahana took Pidyon HaBen because Pashtus, he was a Kohen. Pashtus, he was a Kohen. The Rav Ashi says, you know, why did he take a Sudar, right, that's a separate sugi of Ladidi Shavali, right, that wasn't Hay Slime, so he was able to take something smaller because he was a Gavaraba. Okay, but the Gemara is clear that Rav Kahana took Pidyon HaBen. Ask Tosfos there, Kiddushin Daf Ches, it's also in Nechulin, it's also in Psachim, Mashma Hachad Rav Kahana Haya Kohen, Mashma that Rav Kahana was a Kohen. Right, you get that impression from his name, and also from the story. V'tema de besof elu over, and you look at the end of Psachim, the end of elu over in Psachim, end of the third parak. Mashba de lo haya kohen. It's mashba there that he was not a kohen. To Kamar ilav de nesivi kahanta lo galoi. If I wouldn't have married a kohen, a bas kohen lo galoi. So it sounds like he wasn't a kohen from the Gemara in Psachim. V'yesh lomar tosus has 2 days. V'yesh lomar de trei Rav Kahana have. Okay. Always have that easy answer. There are two Rav Kahanas. One was a Kohen. That's the story in Psachim, and the story in Kiddushin, are about two different people. Inami Tosa says he was not a Kohen, but he was married to a Kohen. Yesh lomar de bishvil ishto hu lokeach. Kida ashkan beperek hazroa. He took, for his wife, as it says in Perek Hazroah, Rav Kahana Achal Bishvil Ishto. The Gemara in Chulin is about the Zeroa de Lachayim in Lekeva. We know from every Chulin animal, we have to give to the Kohen, called the Matanos, Zeroa de Lachayim in Lekeva. From every Shlamim, the Kohen gets the Chaziv Ashok. But from every Chulin animal, he gets the Zeroa de Lachayim in Lekeva. That's the name of a Perek towards the end of Mesechas Chulin, Perek Hazroa. So the Gemara says there in Chulin, that Rav Kahana was married to a Bas Kohen. You could give a Bas Kohen Zeroa L'chaim Akeva because it doesn't have Kedusha, and therefore he ate it for his Bischus, his wife. So Tosfos says, just like the Zeroa L'chaim Akeva could be given to a Bas Kohen, and then her husband, the Yisrael, could enjoy it, so too Pidyon HaBen. That's the Chiddush of Tosfos here, Kedushin Daf Ches, and elsewhere. The Pnei Yeshua notes that this is a Das Yachin amongst all the Rishonim. The Pnei Yeshua here in Kedushin on Daf Ches, the Pnei Yeshua says, I didn't find this anywhere else. Kavanaso, says the Pnei Yeshua, Tchihechi de'ikalaman de'amar hasam, Kohen afilu kohenes, Hachanami ikalamemar, Bechol ma'anus kuhuna, Kida'ashkechan gabi truma, Nami v'truma v'chadei v'shok, Bekavanaso, and Ela shalom matzasi lem chaver bazeh, Ela dafke hechadog golikra. I didn't find anyone else who says this. And also in the Kuntras Achron, he repeats his problem. L'chari yesh l'tamua, De'lo matzino bazeh b'shum duchta, V'lo b'shum posek, the isha shayach bechlal matnas kahuna v'lo matzino la ela bezroa v'lachayim v'keva v'mesechas chulin v'tzarech iyan. The Pnei Yeshua leaves Tosfos b'tzarech iyan. I didn't find this anywhere. If you look in the other Rishonim, the Rosh is beferish. The Rosh is beferish that this is not true. The Rosh beferish is not true. Right? The Rosh obviously had Baalei Tosfos in front of him, and the Rosh says at the end of Mesechas Bechoros, the Rosh has Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, Pidyon Bechor. Hilchos Pidyon Bechor, all the way at the end of Meseches Bechoros. And Meseches Bechoros is Halacha L'maisa, so we have the Rosh. So if you look there in Os Siv Dalet, there's four Seifim, so if you look in the last one, the Ein Litein LaKohenes Bechor Behema, V'lo Pidyon HaBen. Abbas Kohen is not Zoche to a Bechor Behema Tahora, and Pidyon HaBen, right, the armor of Perek HaZroah, because it says in Perek HaZroah, it says in Chulin, he quotes the Gemara that Tosfos deals with. Ula Yahiv Matanos Ula Kahanta. Ula used to give his Matanos to a Bas Kohen. Alma Ksever Ula Kohen Rafila Kohenes. So you see Ula holds Kohen, even Kohenes, but then Rava asks Ula, so why is there a difference between a minchas kohen and a minchas bas kohen. There should be a difference. Why is only a minchas kohen not eaten? Amar lei. So he answers him, mitunach Aaron Avonik said b'parsha. It's a special gzeras hakasuv by mincha. Alma b'pshita to kol hecha to ksiv Aaron ubanav amrinan kohen v'lo kohenes. Right, when it comes to carbon mincha, but the Rush says that applies to whenever it says Aaron ubanav, it only means the men. And in Parshas Bamidbar, vayitein Moshe es kesef la Aaron ubanav ve'iskesh la'adadi b'char adam u'b'char behemet tameya. The look appears Rashi perakam de kedushin. It's really Tosfos. Tosfos he quotes that the Rav Kahana lo yikonel b'shul ishto ayelokech. He quotes that day of Tosfos and he argues on it. But that's the issue is about Eishes Kohen, about whether Rav Kahana was a Kohen. So we have Kahana here in our Gemara. We don't know whether he was a Kohen or not. Interesting, in Psak, the Rambam in Hilchos Bikurim, in Perak Yud, Halacha Chaf, Bikurim is at the end of Zeroyim. So if you learn Perak Yud, Halacha Chaf, the Rambam says, first Perak Yud, one second, let me find it. Perek Yud Zayin. Reishis Hagez Chulin Choldarva. Let's talk about another one of the matanas. Reishis Hagez is Chulin, and therefore the first shearings, Lefichach, Ani Omer, Shenostin Moso, Lekohenes. So you can give it to a Bas Kohen, Ava Mishinasul Yisrael, Kimatnas Behema. Just like the Zerol Lachaim in the Kevas, the Ramam does extend it to Reishis Hagez. That's it. The Yirali Shadin Echad Shin Shneim Echadu. The Rambam with the Yirali says, I think it's both, because both of those don't have Kedusha. The language of the Radvaz is Dereish Maishna. What will be the difference? They both don't have Kedusha, and therefore Reishis Hagez would be the same as the Zeroa, the L'chayim, and the Kefa. But if you look in the next Parak Yud Aleph, Halacha Hey, the Rambam says, you have to give it to a Kohen. It does not mention a Kohenes, but it postures is that he only says Kohen. Habodes Beno, Mavarach HaShagat HaShem, Zivano HaPidyon HaBen, V'chozim Mavarach Shachiyon, V'yacharka HaDosin HaPidyon, La Kohen. You give it to a Kohen. So it sounds like it's only a Kohen. Does not say anything about Kohenes. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva about this. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Salacha by Zerol Chaim Lekeva, Kohenes, and quotes the Salacha by Reishis Hagez, but for some reason is silent. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say a word about this in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen. This day of Tosfos, so it's posthumous that it's not even quoted on the page. It's not even a Das Yachid that has ramifications, Lamaisa. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Samach Aleph in Yeredeia that you could give it to a Kohenes, the Zerol Chaim in the Keva, and Reishis Hagez give it to a Kohenes, but Shulchan Aruch is silent by Kohenes Pidyon HaBen. Chassam Sofer talks about this in Eshuva and Chalik Beis in Yeredeia and Siman Shin Aleph. He talks about Zeli Kamo Shivuos Shtayim Shein Arba, Namruli Sha'amru Shemashe Mishmi, Lifdos haben ide Yisrael shalokeach b'shul ishto kohenes. Right? I've heard people have said this, that I paskin that way. They give it to a bas kohen married to Yisrael. So he says, lo yatsa ken mimani, I never said that. V'yata shamati ki yadr navan al kein batzi b'shuratayim l'maz kvo, and I'm going to answer what exactly I hold. He goes through the whole sugya, and he quotes whether there's anything to rely on. He quotes this day of Tosfos. And then he says at the end, Mirlani is Daiti, Mishalachar Koatirchos, Efshalo Lagielakoin Beyon Pidyono. What if you can't do? It's impossible to do Pidyon HaBen. Vikvari Gielagvuros, let's say he's 80 years old. Oshuhumin Azrizim, Vena Rosa Lahashos, or you want to just do it right now. Kimio de Mayulid Yom, you don't know what's going to be, it's day 31. Al Kapanim Itin Biyomo, Lakohenes Beli Bracha. You want to rely on Tosfos and Ashas at Chak where there's no other choice? There's no other choice. Give it to a bas kohen without a bracha. Okay. V'yia matana she'ena via masna. And you make a tnai she'ena miskavin latzeisba ela im lo yizke lemitzvo kohen. If I never find a kohen in my life, then I'm giving it to you. V'miyimsa kohen achar kach yachzer v'yifte bebracha kiru uya. But if I find a kohen, I'm going to do the mitzvah with the kohen. Ki az lo ziyasti chavaslo mafreya ki kain anu masnin. Because how can you make a tnai by a mitzvah? He gets into the sugi. He says, "So too we're masneb ha'nachas tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam, ubekriyash veshal arvis ba'od yomam." we make the Tanai, Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, says the Chasam Sofer, right? That if Rabbeinu Tam's right in terms of the order of the Parshios, and what about Davening Ma'ariv when it's early, Ba'od Yom, V'yam Barash Sof Sukkah, Uba Agasha, Merachti Bazeh, B'mokam Acher. V'nirli Im Kasha, Lovely Teen, Schuma Pidyon, Shnei Pa'amim, Litin, Yochol, and I, what if you can't give it twice? You can't give it to the woman and then give it to the Kohen later on? You don't have enough money? Yochol, Litin, Lekohenes, Almanas, Lahachsir. Afilo Lechadchila, V'ayin Bazeh, Mishum Gzeirich, Shadei Regila, Asoskain, V'yakwem Seyeh, Besakranos, Vechulu, and he continues. So, again, if there's no other choice, mamish, then okay, something to talk about. But other than that, says the Chasam Sofer, one shouldn't rely on it. But that has to do with Kahana. And Rav Kahana quoted in the day in Tosfos in Kiddushin and the like. Okay, we continue. So again, Rabbi Yishmael, according to Kahana, Rabbi Yishmael has a sliding scale. He needs at least four amos avoda around in order to have a look at distinct, and he needs 8 amos in between, minimum. Shmuel says, no, he always needs 12. Continuing the Gemara now, Batani Kane, Kotzev al Devre Shneim, right, so also the Brisa says, similar to Shmuel, Kotzev, from the word Katsuv, right, it's fixed, says the Tosefta. It's fixed, al Devre Shneim, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shnei Mesri, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Shmona. It's fixed. 12 and 8. Right, that's fixed. Ha Rabbi Yishmael Amr Shtei Mesrei, the Rabbanan Amru Shtei Mesrei. But if it's true according to Shmuel, according to Kahana, you don't have a question about what the difference is between Rabbi Yishmael and the Chacham at the end of the Mishnah, because Rabbi Yishmael doesn't say always 12. Sometimes he says 12, sometimes he says 16, sometimes he says 8. But if you say like Shmuel that Rabbi Shmuel is always 12. So then what's the difference between the first and third opinion in the Mishnah? The Chachamim, if you remember the end of the Mishnah, what the Chachamim say? Im ein bein shura lechaver to shtei mesrei, lo yikayim zera shel bein tayim. The Chachamim say you need 12. So ask the Gemara, so what's the difference? If Shmuel is right, that Rabbi Shmuel always holds 12, so what's the difference between Yishmuel and the Rabbanon? Harabi Shmuel Amr Shtei Mesrei, Rabbanon Amr Shtei Mesrei, Ma B'nei'on, what's the difference between them? The answer is, Smicha. The answer is, could you put one right next to the other one? Al Dai to Derbi Shmuel, Aser Lismach. Even according to Derbi Shmuel, you need 2 amos space before the Diluin, in all the cases that we said. Aser Lismach, Rabbanon Amr Muta Lismach. Rabbanon say you can do it right next to it, as long as you have 12 in between the Diluin. Look at the Mara Folda. Smicha, al dai derbi shmal, aser lismach shetzarach beiz amos reikon bein dilu and livet salam. You need at least 2 amos empty between them. V'lachachamim eino tzarach reikon, ela kivan sheish bein dilu and livet yud beiz amos. As long as you have 12 amos, you could have 3 rows of onions. Right, and they can be right next to the Diluin. Avavisha Zarakola Yud Beis Amos Shebenei and Bitzalim Mutter Lefisha Azad Diluin Nikar Bifnei Atzman. As long as there's 12 in between, they're Nikar V'Habitzalim Bifnei Atzman. Even though the Bitzalim and the Diluin are right next to each other, so that's how we would be mechalik between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbanan Rabbi Yishmael, whether you need anything right in between. So you see in our Gemara, Rabbi Akiva is spelled. You have to look at the different sources. Rabbi Akiva is spelled with a hey. Keep it spelled with a hey in Shas, the language, even though Lamaisa, most people spell Akiva with an aleph. I think I mentioned in the past, it's the Arzarua. The Arzarua, in his beginning of his Sefer, he writes that when he was finishing his Sefer, he had a vision. He always had a question about how to spell Akiva. Spell Akiva with an aleph at the end of it or a hey at the end of it. So he had a vision that he saw the pasuk Arzarua Latzadik, Gulishrei Leif Simcha, in his vision, and the last letters, the Sofei Tevos of that pasuk, spell out Rebbe Akiva. And Simcha has a hay at the end of it. So that's what he took that as a remez ben hashamayim, that's how Rabbi Akiva is supposed to be spelled. And he was so excited that he even named his sefer, Arzarua, because he was excited about this vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent him. And that's also why, on Yom Kippur night, one of the opinions is that Rabbi Akiva was killed on Yom Kippur, and we say that pasuk by Kol Nidre, Arzarua, Latzadik, as a remez to Rabbi Akiva. That's a little bit of how to spell Rabbi Akiva. Throughout Shas, Rabbi Akiva here is in a halachic context, but throughout Shas and Chazal, we know Rabbi Akiva is always the one who is positive, always the one who is the optimist in so many different sugyas. He is the optimist. Right, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos, that's maybe the most famous, where Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues are watching over Har Abayis, and there is a jackal or a fox that walks over Har Abayis, and everybody else starts crying, and Rabbi Akiva starts laughing. And they say to him, why are you laughing? He says, Amr Lebem Rei Ma'ata Betzachik. Amr Lebem Rei Atem Bochim. Amr Lo, they say, Malkam Zakasa Bav Hazor Akarav Yumas. V'yachshav Shualim Hilchu Bav Lo Nivke. Right, we shouldn't cry, the holiest spot. Amr Lebem Lekachani Metzachik. Rabbi Kiva says, that's why I'm laughing. Because I see this nevuah. I see the terrible nevuah coming true. So I obviously know that the nevuah of Uriah, of Zechariah is going to come true. And they say, Akiva Nikamton, Akiva Nikamtonu. That's the famous one, but there are many others. There are many others. Rabbi Kiva has this ability to see beyond. Remember the two Gemaras in the end of Maseches Brachos, right? One blot away from each other. Rabbi Kiva, when he's being killed, the Talmidim say to him, Rabbi Ad Khan, he's in an inspiring state that he sees the letters going up only, and the Gvilim is not burning. And he says, I've been waiting for this. I've been preparing for this. Right? And the daf beforehand, remember the daf beforehand in the Maseches Brachos when we have the Gemara that he's looking, he comes into a town and he doesn't find a place to sleep. So he's stuck to be outside with his horse and with his candle and with his little animals. And all of a sudden he says, nobody took me in, you know, I have to sleep out in the field. Gamzu Latova. Or he says, Kol David Rachman Latav Avid. Doesn't say like what his Rebbe, Nachamish Gamzu, says Gamzu Latova. But he says it in the Aramaic, not for now. Why? Kol David Rachmana Latav Avid. And then the wind comes and blows his candle out. And then a lion comes and eats up his horse. And another animal comes. He's left with nothing. And he keeps saying, Kol David Rachmana Latav Avid. Kol David Rachmana Latav Avid. And the next day he actually sees it. He sees it because he knows that there was a marauding attackers that went through the town and they attacked everyone and everything that was there. And he realized that if he would have been in the town, he would have been one of the victims. So he says, Kol David Rachmana Latav Avid. So in that circumstance, he's positive. Also in the Avos Rebbe Nasan. That's where he was an Am Haaretz, and he's walking by and he sees water dripping onto a rock. And he thinks to himself, says, wow, the water on the rock makes a dent and makes an indentation, even though the water is so soft and the rock is so hard. Me, my heart, which is softer than the rock, you know, surely water would be able, Torah, which is so strong, would be able to make an indentation, a dent in my heart. And that's when he starts. He's positive, even at that stage. Remember the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin? Also, his Rebbe is on his deathbed, Rebbe Eliezer. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Aleph Amad Aleph, Kishachala Rebbe Eliezer, Nichlas Utamido Lavakro. When Rebbe Eliezer was ill, in his final illness, his Talmidim went to visit him. Amalem, he says to them, Chama Aza Yish Ba'olam. There's a strong sun, he's hot, he's not feeling well. Chama Aza, Hischilu Hein Bochin, Rebbe Kiva Mesachik. Again, everybody starts crying, their Rebbe is dying. And Rebbe Kiva starts smiling. Rebbe Kiva starts being Mesachik. Amrulo, Lamata Mesachik. They say, Rebbe Kiva, that's not appropriate. What are you doing? Amr lehem, mipnei ma atem bochem. Why are you crying? Amr lo, they say, after Sefer Torah Sharui Bitsar v'lo nivke, look at Rabbi Eliezer. It's Bitsar. What are you smiling for? Amr lehem lakachani mesachik. Says, that's exactly why I am laughing and I'm smiling. Shekol machani roe rebi, shein yeno machmitz vein pishtan aloke, vein shmeno mavish. As long as I don't see my Rebbe getting a little, punishment, so to speak, and waning, and the wine is not turning to vinegar, and the oil is not becoming putrid. Vein dufshanu madvish, or the honey. Interesting, somebody once said that honey never goes bad. Seems like something could happen to the honey. Amarti shemachas v'shalom kibo Rebbe olamo. I'm thinking maybe our Rebbe got his olam. V'achshav shani roe Rebbe b'tzar. Now that I see Rebbe getting some tzaris, ani sameach. I'm happy. Amar lo. So Rebbe Lezer says to him, Akiva, klum chisarti min haTorah kula. What did I do? What did I do? You say I have to be punished? What did I do? Omer lo, he says, Limantanu Rabbeinu, ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tova lo yachta. End of story. Of course, the pasuk, there is no tzadik ba'aretz, there is nobody that doesn't do something wrong. That doesn't do something wrong, right? The pasuk in Kohelas. So ask them a first, I mentioned this in the past. What was he saying? What he's saying? Rebbe, you aren't perfect? Is that something for a Talmud to say to a Rebbe? It sounds chutzpahdik. He's smiling when his Rebbe is suffering. Number one, so what was he saying? Number two, what does he mean, Limatona Rabbeinu, you taught us? You taught us. It should be V'haksiv. It says in the Pasuk, it's quoted in the Pasuk. What do you mean, you taught us? It says V'haksiv. Right, so what exactly is meant by these? I remember I heard many years ago from Rabbi Alan Schwartz, Shlita, he said over, so the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Shabbos and Baal Basra that there were four people that never sinned. Four people that never sinned. Yishai, Kilav, Binyamin, and Amram. What do those four people have in common? Each of them, they were not the Gadol Ador. Right? They were right next to the Gadol Hadar. Yishai and David, Kilov was the brother of Shlomo, Binyamin and Yosef, Amram and Moshe. They were right next to the Gadol Hadar, and they were perfect. What's the message? The message is, if you're going to have a make a difference in life, if you're going to be a Mashpi, if you're going to be the Gadol Hadar, then it's not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. You can be perfect if you're a tzaddik in pelts. If you stay in your room and you don't do anything and you don't involve yourself in anything, so maybe then you can be a tzaddik and be perfect. But if you're going to go outside and make a difference, if you're going to be a mashpi on people, so it's we're human beings. We're not going to be perfect. And that's what Rabbi Akiva, that's what those four people, they were great, amazing, but it was the ones that were close to them that weren't perfect that made the difference in Jewish history. And that's David and Shlomo and Yosef and Moshe. So that's what Rabbi Akiva was telling his Rebbe here. You taught us, not according to the Pasuk, but you taught us how to read the Pasuk. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz, asher yaseh tov lo yechta. Rebbe, you made a difference in life. Right? You were mashpia, and that's why I have a positive attitude. So, a little bit. If you were perfect, I wouldn't think you were the Gadol Hadar. But now that I see you're getting a little punishment, look, nobody's perfect. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, even Aaron HaKohen, even so, ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. Right? Because you weren't like those four people. Right? Rabbi Elazar, you made a difference. You were mashpi in life. So there you were positive. And putting all this together, this is what the Aruch HaShulchan writes in his Haggadah. That is why all those rabbis went to Rabbi Akiva at the Seder night. Because, after all, imagine what the Seder was like in the days of the early Tanaim, right? You call this a Seder. You know, their grandparents used to tell them stories about the Seder of Bizman HaMikdash, right, with the Karban Pesach in the middle and all of Jews in Yerushalayim. And now what's a Seder without a Karban Pesach? What's a Seder without the centerpiece? So that's what they went to Rabbi Akiva to get Chizuk. They went to Bnei Brak, right? Bnei Brak was the town of Rabbi Akiva. All those great rabbis went. Why? Because they went to get Chizuk from Rabbi Akiva, because he was always positive. He was always the one that was able to keep things in perspective with all these different stories, among others. and that's what his legacy is. Again, did that impact his halacha in certain areas? I don't know, not sure, but either way, this is Rabbi Akiva, so we know how to spell Rabbi Akiva, Aleph or Hey, and then we get into his attitude and his outlook on life. So here we have the two, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, but again, machlokas between Kahana and Shmuel about how to understand Rabbi Shmuel Shita in the Mishnah. We continue. Says the Mishnah, Dala'as biyerek kiyerek. If somebody has a single gourd seed, right, one gourd, barafolda, haba, lita, dala'as, etzel shar yirakos. You want to plant one gourd next to other vegetables, kiyerek, so it's like planting two vegetables next to each other, which we had earlier in the Mishnah, chaf aleph, that you need six tfachim in between. Ubitfua, but dala'as next to tfua, dala'as again has the very long, intertwining vines, ubitfua nosan labes rova. If it's one dala'as next to a field of tevua, of grain, it needs a base rova, it needs the ten amos. Haisa sadeu zerua tevua ubikesh lita betocha shurish al deluin. Interesting. If you have a whole field of tevua and you want to put one, if you plant one dalas, it's got to be a base rova. It's got to be a 10 amos away. But if you're planting a whole row of deluin, that's more makel. One dalas and a whole field of dalas, that would require 10 amos, base rova. But if it's one shura of deluin, so then you need less. Noten lavodasa shisha tvachim. Right, so that would be enough to be considered separate. That would be considered separate. So again, one dala'as and a field of dala'as next to tvua require 10 tvachim, 10 amos. But if it's a whole row, it's better than one seed. It doesn't mean it has independence, but it's not called a field, so you don't need as much separation. And if you separated it properly and then it grew, machlokas, where did it grow until? The Marafolda says it grew within the six tvachim. Right? Others say maybe it means it grew into the tvua itself. Right? The Marafolda says, v'niklasu anafim betoch vav, if you look in the Pnei Moshe, v'notza al pnei hatvua. So maybe that means, you know, mamish on the tvua, then yakar milafanah, you have to rip it out. Says the Marafolda, kol ha'anafim, shit is pashtu, v'nechlesu b'toch shirzeh. You gotta rip out all the branches that went into this area, because that would be considered a mixture. Right, back to the mixture, and that's where the Pnei Moshe, makom shenis tabchu bo ha'al inshallah. So it sounds like the Pnei Moshe says it's when it gets mixed up into the branches itself, and the parafolda says already if it's within the six tefachim, that would be enough. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no sum lavodasa arba amos. Rabbi Yossi argues, he says, no, for the shura, for the row of deluim, four amos. Four amos, not six tefachim, you need four amos away in order for it to be separate. You know, a lot of these halachas that we're talking about in terms of farming, in terms of planting, you know, most of this is not something that we generally do, but number one, we have to know the halacha. You know, everybody has to have a parnasa, right? The Mishnah says at the end of Kiddushin that everybody has a chiyuv to teach their son a parnasa, right? The language, Remeir Omer Lo'olam Yelamid Adam is Beno Umnis Nikia Vikala V'yispala L'misha Osher V'Nachasim Shalo She'ein Umnis She'ein Ba'anias V'Ashiris. Every profession has those who are successful, those who are not successful, Hakol L'fis Chuso, right? We have to teach our children an umnis, right? That's part of the responsibility. It says in the Ksuba. It says in the Ksuba that the husband has to support the wife. They have to learn an umnis. So some have an umnis that they're drawn to farming, and some have an umnis that they're drawn to other areas. But again, it depends on the personality. Right? The Gemara at the end of Masechta Shabbos, if you remember, we're in Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav, it talks about if you're born under this constellation, if you're born on this day of the week, right? There's a certain pull. There's a certain nature about each person to know, you know, what they're going to be good at, where they're going to excel. So a lot of these are talking about farming. But even if we're not farmers, you know, we should recognize that there are farmers, and we have to know the halacha in any case. Okay, we'll stop here.